Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by Grove and Miro. And we are very excited to have them aboard.
So excited.
We are.
I know.
All right.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Oh my God, what are you doing? Like a little Mae West. Watch it come up and see me sometime.
I feel like I'm on a game show. I'm a game show. Welcome to If These Ovaries. I'm Jamie.
Big bucks, no whammy. I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Oh my God, you guys. We have a killer episode today.
We do.
We really, really do. I'm super excited about it. But before
we talk about
I got ahead of myself.
But that's okay. You do that a lot. That's how we balance
all
each other.
Moving very fast.
I know. I looked at you like, where are you going? What is
Jamie's,
she doing?
Jamie's often scared and looking at me going, where is she? I'm tracking.
Try to get on board. Okay. But I think it is time to start talking about our live event.
Yes.
It's coming up.
June 10th,
7 p.m.
WNYC.
At WNYC, the Green Space, GREENE.
And if you've never been to the Green Space, do yourself a favor.
It's so beautiful.
Don't even come to see us. Come to see the Green Space.
Come
it's
to
delightful.
See us.
What? Right, wait, sorry.
Stop. But the guest, our guest is the one and only Jessica Kirsten. Did you hear that?
She is folks? So frigging funny.
I can't believe people keep coming to talk to us.
We landed Jessica Kirsten.
It's pretty. I can't wait. I'm really excited. And you should be too. And you should be going. I mean, you should be right now typing in thegreenspace.org and looking for
tickets. Under the event tag. Under
do June, it. June what are you
and
waiting
it's
for?
Greenspace, GREENE. Space.
Yes. Also, Jay, tell them what this Thursday is.
It is Lesbian Visibility Day.
Who knew that existed?
I did not.
Do you feel visible?
I'm pretty visible.
Pretty visible. I didn't know it was my special day.
It's
what
a special day.
I think it's margaritas.
Should we celebrate? How do we celebrate Lesbian Visibility?
Margaritas. I mean, I do celebrate everything with a margarita.
I see you and I'll bring margaritas.
Are we going to meet on Thursday?
I mean, now we are.
That's date night. So okay. I'm out and about. We all got right. a babysitter every Thursday.
Maybe we'll do a date night. Mm. Let's go be visible.
All right. Also, you guys really should stick around to the end of the episode if you weren't planning on it, because we have another Tiff and Carissa segment. These guys.
They're young, naive optimism.
They're in the process of making a baby, as you do, you know, and everything that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And this week they're talking about, you know, the optimism that goes in the 2 week wait.
Yes. It's a good one.
And the anxiety. And like also, do you tell people that you're trying you not?
Which is, by the way, pretty interesting because they're telling everybody on our show.
I know, but I think they struggle with that a little. And so thank you guys so much for sharing.
Keep sending them because otherwise our segment goes nowhere. It just eventually just like ends.
No.
Kind of like Freaks and Geeks, like in the middle of season one, then just like, bye.
Now we can get to you tried to rush to in the beginning, Robin. Guest today.
Well, I was so excited. He's so handsome with his little baby face.
He's so cute, but also he came to us in a really special way.
Yeah, he's a listener.
He's a listener and a fan. His name is Nate. He's from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sperm donor. And the way
Of our podcast.
Yes.
Let's let him tell us about it.
He became a sperm donor because he listened to our podcast.
I mean, it might
podcast.
Also be because he had like some lesbian friends and stuff, but let's say it's because of us.
And he's a good guy.
Yeah. And he's delightful.
He's really great to talk to. And he's got, you know, the British accent that we love so much.
I would say let's bring him in here, but we're obviously doing this remote.
Via Skype. Or it's not Skype.
Get him on the screen.
Whatever. Let's get him up there.
Okay, so we have Nate with us all the way from London.
Hi, Nate from London. This is the furthest. We've casted our net out, and you reached out to us because you listened to our podcast.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I mean, it would be weird if he didn't, wouldn't it?
Some people reach out because they heard about us through a friend who listens to the podcast.
People who work somewhere who are like, hey. First of all, I mean, we have to say this, like you have a very silky smooth radio voice and I love it.
Thank you.
Well, so Nate, you listen to us.
Yeah.
So can you give us the elevator picture? The elevator picture. It's a new one.
Oh, God, Nate, give us the elevator pitch, please. Elevator pitch.
Cool. So elevator pitch about me. English guy, work in the government here in youth justice.
Oh.
So I work on, and I'm very new to the role, but I work on reforming the prison estate here. So we're trialing something in government about having prisons that are also full-time schools instead of prisons where you get like 5 to 10 hours of education a week.
Oh.
So it's like reform versus, you know, incarceration.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're on this show?
Yeah. Why you reached out.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah. So I listened to your guys' podcast and off the back of it, I obviously started to know a lot more about the US system than the UK. And I thought I'll give it a look up in the UK. And I found out that we actually have a massive shortage here of sperm donors. And I went into research.
Heard that. The great sperm shortage of 2019.
And then since then, I started going through the process of donating sperm. It's a long process here.
are you saying... Because Jamie, I mean, are you saying because of this little idea that Jamie had that I turned into 47 Google Docs that now became a podcast, you decided to donate sperm and create children?
I did.
Holy
Jamie, we
shit.
Made babies.
And our podcast made babies. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there are any babies yet, but our podcast could make some babies.
Well, I have like millions of questions
this
for
is
you.
Fascinating.
So, okay.
Wait, why don't we just lay it down for why there's a shortage of sperm donors in the UK?
Yeah, there's a bit of a history to kind of not just sperm donation, but kind of embryology and things like that. In kind of the late 90s, we had our first kind of law come in off the back of like cloning, and they established the authority. And there was already a lot of controversy there, where the initial law was about what can be done with embryos and what can be done with sperm. And then basically kind of regulating that in a very heavy way. And then a few years later, they regulated about how you can use kind of cloned nuclei. And there was a lot of upheaval here and challenges in the High Court. And there was a brief period in time where it was almost completely unregulated.
So are you saying that the laws that affect the LGBTQ folks or single moms by choice or anybody who needed to use a donor were affected because they were trying to regulate things like cloning? Is that what you were saying?
So there isn't a distinction here about, well, there is slightly, but not rare generally on LGBT, but we had the Human Fertilization and Embryo Act, which is specifically about sperm and eggs, but they tried to tack onto that some regulations about cloning, for human cloning. And then as a result of that, it was challenged because the initial law was only about sperm and eggs. And there was a whole upheaval around that, trying to kind of conflate the two. And so there was a lot of faff about that. And then about a year later, they specifically introduced another act about reproduction and cloning.
I don't feel like we have
there's not much regulation at all.
We've got a specific body called HAFER, who are Human Fertilization and Embryo Authority, that regulate everything to do with sperm donation and embryos outside fertility. The body here in the UK.
Sure.
Huh. Yeah. Well, we kind of touched on this with Emma Brox in season two.
Yeah. She mentioned that she talked about being single and it not being covered. Like she needed to be married. Wasn't it like married?
She had to be. And she talked about the sperm shortage and that's why she ended up staying here to do it.
There's a whole big of it, but I think the biggest problem is that since 2005 here in the UK, donors are known no matter what. So if you go in as a sperm,
they have to be, there's no anonymous donors.
Yeah. You have to be a known donor. So since 2005, if you donate sperm, you have to be willing that when that child turns 16, they can find out non-identifying information 16. About you. So hair color, height, and things like that
before 16, they can't even know that.
So their parents can know that, but the parents can choose not to share that with them. But when the child turns 16, they have the legal right to know that. And then when they turn 18, they can find out your full name, your latest address, your email address, and things like that.
And how do they get that information?
So the authority here, HAFER, they hold a database of everyone that's donated sperm since 2005, and they contact HAFER directly. And then when they contact HAFER, HAFER also tell you, oh, by the way, somebody has requested your details. So be aware that you may have some contact soon.
You might have had a baby knocking on your door soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Is HAFER, are they just a governing body, or like, do you have private, like we have California Cryobank, like are there private organizations that collect the sperm, or is it through the government?
Yeah. So HAFER is just a regulating body that kind of control it and you have to register with, but there are private sperm banks. So private sperm banks that operate in certain areas that do it. There was a while back a government sperm bank, but they were open for about 2 years and they had 9 donors and then they shut. So they didn't do very well.
I guess not.
I wonder why that is, that they didn't do well. I mean, they just, maybe it was like red tape and nobody cared.
Yeah.
Or nobody wanted to go to the government to give their sperm.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I think, again, it's
create little soldiers or something.
The problem here is that it's very difficult to be a donor. It's like 1 in 100 men or something are accepted to be donors because we have very strict about what the quality of your sperm, how it can survive freezing. You have to know quite a lot about your background and things like that to be eligible to donate.
How do they know if you lie? Is that any different than the US?
Yeah, I know. I guess they just take your word. So they have quite stringent medical testing. So just about a week ago, I gave 6 vials of blood to go and be shipped off and tested.
Have you actually donated the sperm yet? Or are you just in the process of gearing up?
No, so I've donated sperm to be tested on. Okay. And that's all been accepted as high quality enough sperm.
Did you pat yourself on the back a little bit when you got the results back?
Well, I didn't find out until afterwards that it was so stringent. And then I was sat in the lobby waiting for my blood test and read the information they give about 1 in 100 men have what it takes. Do you have what it takes?
Oh my God. I hope I do.
Wow. Talk about pressure, huh?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. So, but then, yeah, I suppose it's a ego boost, isn't it?
Spring is here. Did you know that song?
No.
No, but it's time for spring cleaning.
I know. It is. Oh, it's my God. Time. My house is just like a mess with like muddy kids stuff and dishes because of the spring business.
I don't have mud.
I need some Grove spring scents.
Love them.
Grove. Do you know Grove?
Mm-hmm.
I love Grove.
I love Grove.
Oh my God. They make that healthy home products that are accessible and affordable. And I just realized that over 500,000 families shop at grove.co.
Really?
For the non-toxic dish soap, plant-based skincare, even tree-free bath tissue.
Tree-free. I didn't even know that was a thing. What I love about Grove is it makes it easy to find the best natural, like you said, eco-friendly products online, and it delivers them straight to your door.
Mm,
makes me feel like I'm making great choices for my family.
Oh my God. And you know what?
Oh, I recently got Miss Meyer's hand soap and I love it because it smells so good. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Our listeners are getting an exclusive Mrs. Meyer's offer from Grove.
Shut up.
Yeah, you got to get it now before it runs out. But new customers are going to get a free cleaning set in these limited edition scents.
Spring scents.
When you place your first order of $20, which is so easy to do. You get a free Mrs. Meyer's spring hand soap, a free Mrs. Meyer's spring dish soap, a free Mrs. Meyer's spring multi-surface spray, which smells delicious.
Oh my God.
A Grove Collaborative cleaning caddy.
Your house is going to smell so springy.
And a Grove Collaborative walnut scrubber sponge. I think you get two of those.
I have those. I love those.
They are. They're great.
And you know what? You can select your favorite spring scents. They have peony, which I like to say peony, lilac or mint.
I think I have the lilac.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so good. So for a limited amount of time, listeners are going to get a 3-piece cleaning set from Miss Meyer's Spring Scents, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. So easy.
Guys, check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/OCT. That's grove.co, not .com/OCT. Grove.co, not .com/OCT.
Not .com.
That's like our new song.
Spring is here. There's no mistaking. So you're still in the process of getting your sperm donated. It's a long process where you are.
Yeah. How long does it take from beginning to end?
In terms of like testing and stuff, I've been doing it for about just under 2 months. Well, yeah, probably a bit less than just under 2 months now. But that's all just a test of kind of being. So you donate the sperm and then they check it for quality. And then if it's good enough quality, you have to donate again to make sure that it wasn't a fluke. And then they do all of the medical testing about your family tree and history. Then you have blood tests and then you see a doctor and then you have a counseling session. And then when you get signed off on all of that, you start donating and you have to go about once a week for 6 months.
Wow.
Quite intense. Yeah. And
that's
then at the end
work.
Of that 6 months, they do a lot of the tests again. And then your sperm gets released out into the wild.
Well, into the wild.
Yeah.
Now, is there a cap on how many children you can make?
So there's no cap on children, but there is a cap on the number of families. So you can have an unlimited number of children with 10 families in the UK. And once you hit that 10 family limit, they can export it.
Do you get paid to donate?
Not as much in the US. So HAFA, again, regulate here that you can be paid expenses, which is £35 per visit of donation. And you don't get paid that until you get accepted onto the program. So I haven't been paid anything yet. And then once I start actually donating, I'll get paid £35 per visit.
Wow.
I can see how all these things would lead to a shortage.
Because
it's like you have to be open. You have to commit to a significant amount of time.
Yep.
You've got to run through all these hurdles. It's kind of a bummer for like the gays and the reproductively challenged people.
Commitment. It's a big commitment.
There's ways around it now. So in the UK, there are apps where you can say, oh, I want to donate sperm. And then someone can say, oh, I want sperm. And then you kind of circumvent the whole system.
And then you have to do like at-home turkey baster, or can you use the medical system?
I'm not sure, but you obviously don't have any of the legal protection unless you source it yourself. You don't have any of the medical testing or anything like that. It's a bit like the wild, wild west of sperm donation.
It's the wild. It's like the frontier.
Yeah.
You would think that
it's like the Craigslist of sperm donation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Meet me at this hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you have to be such a good person to want to do this.
Do you have to be like completely, do you have to have a really healthy lifestyle? Is that one of the things? Like no drinking, no smoking?
Oh, so not no drinking, no smoking, but they do say if you smoke.
But they're not crazy. Yeah.
If you do smoke, it can have an effect on your sperm count. So you might be discounted anyway. But certain things like you can't put yourself at risk of like STI. So you basically have to be monogamous. And if you have changes in your sexual practice, you have to let them know. So obviously if you're a single guy or non-monogamous, I mean, that kind of discounts you unless you're willing to lie. And there's other things like officially, you're not allowed to get any tattoos in the period that you're donating, but apparently they're quite lax on that. So there's quite a few.
Why?
Because of like
risk of infection. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I was like, oh my God, does the ink go into it? Like
into the sperm.
Oh my God. so many people with tattoos don't know they're at risk.
Well, I've got tattoos.
It's a bad sperm.
But yeah.
Oh, but it's what's so crazy to me. Is all of this is self, or most of this, other than like the medical testing, is self-reported.
Yeah,
so it's like you could just like lie out the wazoo, it's like,
but it's still such a huge commitment. So it doesn't behoove you to lie for him, because
you have to know quite a lot about your family history as well, in terms of like who's had like medical problems. And we don't really speak to my dad's side of the family. So that was a whole thing where I had to like call my dad, and it was quite awkward because he doesn't speak to his family, and be like, oh, by the way, did your mom ever have a stroke? And he's like, oh.
Did you tell him you were asking because you were donating sperm?
I did, and he's hard to get off the phone, so I had to be like, Dad, I'm at sperm donation, I have to hang up, bye.
I'm at sperm donation.
I'm busy right now, Dad.
And I really don't want to have you in my head.
Yeah, but then, so like, on my mum's side of the family, people have had things like cancer and things like that, and it would be so easy to just say, no, everything's fine, and obviously I didn't, but yeah, there is a big opportunity to just not. But then they do kind of try to scare you and say you have to sign something that you've given your up-to-date medical information, and that if a child does develop a condition and they can prove that you lied, you can be liable like for financial settlement and things like that.
By the way, once again, don't understand why there's a shortage. Yeah. I mean, it's like everything leads to like no donors.
Exactly.
I'm surprised there's more than 10 donors in the UK.
I would love to be able to compare this really to our, I don't really know what goes into sperm donation here. I know the regulations and I know that they do get paid. I have no idea how much they get paid. I know they have to give medical history and all that stuff. Like we know all of that, but I'd like to know. I would like to know the difference. I don't know how much of what he's saying is different for sperm donors in America, except for the fact that we can't turn around and sue them if our kid gets sick.
Well, he's only saying they can come after you if you lie.
If you lie,
we don't know that you know, because you know,
right.
We need a U.S. donor as well. So email us if you are, so we can do a compare and contrast.
I would like to know. I mean, obviously I want to know, but.
You touched on, I first want to know, like you said you have a boyfriend, right?
Yep.
But how does he feel about you donating?
I think fine. We spoke about it briefly and I kind of said, this is one of those very headstrong people where I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. You're on board. But we spoke about it. And I think once you get the assuasion that we're not going to be financially responsible, we're not going to ever have to have like parental rights. And if they do come knocking, whether you open that relationship or not is obviously still down to you. I think it kind of calmed him a bit. But I think he's generally supportive of it. Yeah.
That's great. So walk us through what made you decide to do this.
Yeah.
I can't just be the silky smooth stylings of Jamie Nye's voice. There had to be more than that.
I have this running joke with my friends that it's like a karma thing. So obviously if me and my boyfriend ever decide we want kids, it's going to be very hard. So it's like good karma out there.
You're paying it forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But really,
that's a good
reason. I've got a cousin who is an egg donor here in the UK, and she has made a family with two great kids kind of from her eggs, which is cool. And I saw that, and that was kind of really inspiring to see.
Do you get paid for an egg donor in the UK?
I'm not sure, actually.
Because you make a lot of money for that here.
Yeah.
She works really closely with the family, so I think it's a much less anonymous process for them. I think they kind of matched as friends.
Wow. Yeah, because you're saying that you watched her, the babies.
Yeah, so I kind of watched her start a family with them, which was really cool.
Wow.
Just generally, I think it's just a nice thing to do. You hear all these stories about people struggling to have kids, and there are people out there with so much love to give, and then they want something to give it to, and you think, well, just help them. Like, I've got this sperm. Right. It's not going anywhere. I'm not using it for anything good at the moment. So.
Well, some good stuff. Yeah. I mean,
we don't want to get too in your business unless you really want to share about that.
Yeah.
Jamie, okay, listen. Hmm. We need to talk deodorant.
What do I smell? What are you talking about?
No. I'm just kidding. No, but we need to talk about Myro deodorant.
Oh yeah, I love Myro. I just got a new shipment with a new amazing scent.
Oh my god, I really did. I love it. It's like, I find like their stuff is obsession worthy, right?
Yeah,
it's like
totally.
It's naturally effective deodorant, and it like looks as good as it smells.
It's pretty.
Jamie, did I mention that they deliver it right to your door?
Oh god, Robin, you're so easy.
I really am.
Yes, but listen, what I love most about Myro is that they make their natural deodorant with a custom blend of essential oils that release over time to keep you fresh, and they use barley powder to keep you dry.
Barley powder, it works. Interesting.
Their formula is like really hard working, it's long lasting, and has no toxic anything. 0% aluminum, 0% parabens, which you don't get in the store-bought stuff.
No, you don't. No. That's true.
Their ingredients are clinically tested for safety and efficacy. And seriously, I use Miro and I teach all day. And do I smell right now, Robin?
Can you
do
please
I smell?
Put your arms down? Put your arms down. No, Jamie, you do not smell. Also, that's weird. So just please.
I don't smell, though.
It works, okay?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I mean, the good news, guys, is that if you just choose your scent and the color of your case, you get a refresh every 3 months, mm-hmm. and it comes conveniently timed for when most people run out.
Yeah.
So you can switch scents, you can press pause, or you can just anytime you want to. It's so easy. And I was all about the juniper flare,
yeah.
which is a combination of orange, juniper, and sunflower. And I love the way I smell. But Jamie, unlike you, I'm not going to raise my arms up in your face.
Robin, I love you. I love the way you smell too.
Back away from me, please.
Because listen, doing good and feeling good should be an everyday thing, just like deodorant.
I mean, yes.
It's also really nice to smell good all day.
Yes, it is.
I don't like to smell bad.
No.
I don't like it when people smell. Everybody go get this deodorant.
Get some Miro. And seriously, we have a very special offer for you so that you can get some Miro.
Good idea.
You're going to get 50% off your first order if you get started for just $5.
It's amazing.
Visit mymiro.com/OCT.
Guys, did you hear that? Go get this deodorant. It's natural. Get 50% off your first order and get started today for just $5. Visit mymiro.com/OCT.
No smells.
Smell good.
Let's say you had a friend who was in a lesbian couple and they were like, I want to use your sperm. Can they request your sperm from Haifa or whomever has it?
I get a number and I could give them the number, I guess. And they could be like, I want this one.
Right.
But at that point, you would just might as well give it to them in a bag.
Yeah,
right?
They'd be paying like 800, 900 pounds for it. So I might as well skip that step and save them some money.
Okay. So you decided that there are couples in need who really want to have a baby and your sperm is just sitting there.
Yeah.
And so that was one factor in why you decided to do it. Are there any other factors for what made you such a good person
besides your parents?
No, I think, again, it just comes down to that is that, I mean, again, I have another running joke that if I go down the adoption route, I'm not going to have any biological kids of my own. So it's that intrinsic male need to pass on your DNA. somehow mm-hmm. might be that like biological drive. But generally, I think I'm always looking out for nice things to do and helping people. And that was my big...
That's nice.
So let's cut to like 16 years from now, 18 years from now, and 10 kids show up. Like, would you be open to having a relationship with them? Like, how do you feel
too
about them showing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. It's too hard to say. I think I'd take it as it comes. I think for me, what I can always imagine happening is I'd always be open to kind of sit down, have a coffee or go for lunch or something and chat to them and then just see how things develop from there, because you preempt things. And I think I worry about getting in this space of like, oh, these kids are going to want to have something to do with me. It's going to be great. And then nobody comes knocking at my door in 18 years. And I'm like, oh.
Would you be sad if nobody showed up?
I don't know. I guess it's all up to them. And I think the thing that swayed it for me about like, oh, do I really want to be open is that I kind of tried to put myself in the shoes of someone that was like a sperm donation baby. And I thought, actually, I would like that choice myself. I don't know if I would ever act on it, but I would like to have the choice there of, like, I'd want to be able to know I can drop them an email or I don't drop them an email. And I think mm-hmm. I just want to take it as it comes. And if I get some emails in a few years, if we're still using emails in a few years.
I mean, so here we have like at my bank, once I had a baby from my donor, you know, mm-hmm. donor number, blah, 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 I could go onto the registry that the bank provides and then see anyone else up. There was like a board that was just for mm-hmm. the people who used my donor, right?
Yeah.
Did they have that there for you? Like, will the people who be able to know each other that have this you as the donor?
No, but they will know my sperm donor number. So if they wanted to know that, they could set up like a Facebook group and be like, I've got sperm donor 23457. Have you? And they could kind of.
So there's no national registry based on a number.
Not for kind of siblings, no. So they wouldn't be able to kind of find it that way, but they'd know my number and they could kind of swap note. And then for people, interestingly, before 2005, where this wasn't a case, a lot of them have no way of kind of finding each other. So there's like an unofficial donor register in the UK where it's kind of like a proactive, a donor might sign up, a child might sign up.
Okay, I got this number donor at this time.
It wouldn't be, it wouldn't even be a number then. So if it was,
oh, there was no numbers?
I think it's about 2000 when HAFA started using, they would have numbers. But if it's prior to 2000, it would be very much like, oh, I donated sperm in 1993 and this is what I look like. Did you get sperm in 1993?
Really? Wow.
It would be like that. And they have like a registry for kind of self-nomination like that.
But what's so funny is for all of their regulation, they're so behind on the communications of people being able to, you know what I mean? Requiring you to be open, but then not allowing or not having a setup for people to, I mean, it feels a little, what's happening, guys? Like, you know?
I don't know if it's to do with like anonymity, because we have, I know we're a lot more, well, not regress, but limited in things like that. So like in the US, you guys have like baby photos and you can hear like voice interviews, but we don't have that. You can't get photos.
You don't
hear their voice. You'll see a profile.
How do you choose a donor then?
So you'll get a profile of like they're 5'11", they've got brown hair, they've got dark eyes and things like that. And that's kind of all you'll have. And then there's one bit which I'm really concerned about, which is the sperm bank's impressions of you. And they write, we think this about this guy. And some of them will say things like, he's got killer cheekbones, or like he's got dazzling blue eyes. So I'm really invested to know what they put about me.
My bank did would put a celebrity lookalike.
Yeah, we had that too. Cool.
Yeah,
and we had this one donor that was in the running, and we were like, this is our donor. This was like in the first one where you're like the choice. Like at least for us, the choice was like took forever because we were like just like, oh my god, it felt so critical, and we were like all about it. And then during the process, they added that feature of celebrity lookalike. And the staff impressions, they had written like how handsome he was and the sparkly blue eyes, just like you said. And then they said, looks just like Chris Martin. And Mary and I were both like, from Coldplay? We were like, well, forget it. And that turned everything. Like we were like, I don't want this guy now. Chris, I mean, sorry, I'm no offense, Chris Martin, but I don't think you're that handsome.
I think Gwyneth is going to have some beef with you.
They broke up.
They broke up. Okay,
they consciously uncoupled. We're fine.
Oh, interesting.
Gwyneth is like, tell me about it, honey.
It actually sounded like her.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Like our celebrity lookalike was the guy from Saved by the Bell.
Oh my god, I love him. What's his name?
Mark Paul Gosling. Yeah,
like
him.
That.
And then there was another guy. I can't remember now.
Yeah, so you guys are for like the Yellow Pages or the phone book of two choice.
Yeah,
we have
it. So have just sort of like really basic stuff.
Baby pictures too. Now we can, you can get adult pictures.
Adult pictures. Rumor has it.
Nothing like that.
We need somebody to talk about the updated US standards because it's now been 8 years since I picked my last donor, and that's a long time.
Yeah, I think the best thing we've got here is like a pen portrait where you can write a letter to like the family or the child that you will have about kind of what you wish for them or kind of what your outlook on the world is. And that's kind of the most personal thing you get. I've got atrocious
handwriting.
I haven't written it yet, but I've got terrible handwriting, so I feel like I'm going to get lots of big red X's.
Maybe your boyfriend can write it.
It's interesting that it's going to be handwritten.
Ours was handwritten. We had one that was handwritten.
We had an audio. We got the audio of where he talks about what he wants the kids to whatever.
Yeah. I was looking at the donor list for my place and you find yourself in this unhealthy sense of competition of like, oh, he's 6'3", big whoop. Like, oh, he's got a PhD. Wow.
It's so interesting to hear from the other side that like, cause we talk about the Superman phenomena of like trying to chew, like kicking people out for these ridiculous things. But it's so interesting to hear that you are getting competitive with the other donors.
Yeah.
Cause my biggest eye opener was that I've been for whole life, cause I've got quite tall hair. I've been telling people
you do have fantastic
11,
hair.
And I went to get donated. I'm 5'9½". And I was like, oh God,
don't
put that.
Cause your hair is so big.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
You're like, I could have sworn I was taller. Yeah.
5'9½", you'd be in the running for me. We want somebody that wasn't too tall. That's not tall, but
it's hard to find anyone beneath 5'10" in the US banks. Very hard. Do they have a height requirement there?
No, I don't think so.
We're very superficial here in the US, it feels like.
I know. Well, you have to have the pictures. You guys don't even have the pictures. Yeah. It's gosh.
So will you know if you're a hot commodity? Like will they tell you like how quickly you're chosen and stuff? And how invested are you gonna get in that? Is what I want to know.
You can request kind of regularly how many pregnancies you've made and then how many pregnancies turn into children, and then you can find out the sex of the children that kind of come about from it. So I'll be able to see like, oh, you've helped start three families, and this family has two kids, one's a boy, one's a girl, this family has one girl.
That's really kind of cool to just know. I wonder if it'll make you feel like when you're walking around, be like, is that my son? What do you think about all that? Or will you think about these kids? Or I'm really curious about that.
I think so. Because I always think you never know until it happens, do you? And I don't think I'll spend all my time kind of preoccupied about them. But I think you won't be able to help if you know that 2 years ago a baby was made and then you see someone that looks like you that's 2 years old and you think, I think that will pop through my head.
Yeah,
but they don't tell you where these parents are, these families are. So you're not going to
because they could be anywhere in England, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And when you hit 10 families, they ask you if you'd like to export as well. So it could be anywhere.
What export?
As in, send your sperm abroad, but it has to go to.
You could go international.
It has to go to a place that has the same standard of regulations as here.
Can't go to America.
Where would that be?
I don't know. Places, probably a lot of European places and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be the whole country has the regulation, but it would have to go to like a bank that was operating with the same practices as we are. So it could be that in 18 years, someone from like Denmark or America gets in touch.
I keep thinking about, I found out somewhere around the eighth grade that my dad had a kid in a marriage before my mom. It was like one of those, like, I don't know, I can't speak for your family, but like how secrets come out. It's always like, you know, somewhere around eighth, ninth grade, you're like, what? You know, like my aunt had kids and you were like, and that like before her kids, like you're like, you know, all kinds of stories. And I still think about the idea that there's this person out there that maybe looks like my dad, maybe looks like me, and we've never met and, you know, we're not in touch. And, you know, I think there was it's one of his kids found my stepmom at some point, but I can't help but think if I were you, I would probably feel like that. Just like that little, every once in a while in the back of your head, like, oh, I wonder what that person's like. Yeah. I don't know.
Don't freak him out. Don't freak him out.
No, I don't mean that in a bad way.
He's going to be haunted by these
kids. He's going to totally quit. He's going to be like, I don't need to finish it. It's fine.
So I know you told your dad because you had to.
Yeah.
Did you talk to your other family members about doing this?
Yeah, my whole family, no.
Did anybody, was anybody weird about it?
Not really. Then my mom thinks it's the best thing ever.
She does. I love your mom.
She messages me all the time. Like, it's such a great thing you're doing, helping all these people.
Oh, that's delightful.
And she's got five kids. So I think she loves kids. So the obviously idea is amazing to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all really supportive. Really on board with it.
Has that brought up questions from anyone in your family asking you when you're going to have kids?
Oh, that was already happening.
How old are you, Nate? Can we ask that? Do you mind?
24.
24.
Yeah, you're a youngin'.
You got time. Take your time.
Please take your time.
That's what I say. But I've got two younger brothers who have two kids each.
Really?
So the pressure is on. Yeah.
I would think the pressure would be off. Time. Oh my God, take your time.
Great thing, but it's the same as well that none of my siblings are married, but I'm the one that gets, when are you going to get married? And I think it's their way of showing that they're supportive, that I can marry a man.
Yeah,
right.
But it's very much my boyfriend comes back for like a Christmas or something and my granddad will collar him into the next room and be like, when are you going to ask him to marry you?
That's hilarious.
I think that's so cool.
Your family's so sweet. Are they all in London?
Sweet. No, so they're all a little bit outside of London, but less than an hour away.
I mean, I know that there's people who don't feel the same way, but I love when we're just as regular as any other typical family. Like when it's just like I remember after my wedding, there was like, somebody was doing a video and this one guy was like, well, go off and procreate. And he was like 70. And then after he said that, he was like so uncomfortable with what he had said, but it was like really cute that he was just trying to be like, you're just like everyone else. Like, I love that when, you know, we are just like everyone else.
We are, except some of us donate our sperm. And
I didn't do that.
I didn't either.
I would have donated eggs, maybe. Done that. Would you do that?
I don't know.
Much harder to donate eggs, isn't it? Lots of injections.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a process. It is. But I would always wonder about the kid out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have done it. I'm way too old now, so it's not going to happen. Nobody wants my eggs.
My eggs are dusty. Like, the cutoff is so young for that.
Yeah. And also,
you can't donate sperm when you're over 40 here.
So, right. Yeah.
Like, what's your plea to anyone in the UK that's listening, like, to donate sperm? Do you have that?
Yeah, just, I think just look into it and just plow on. I think one of the things that got me back here is that even though the private bank's making a lot of money, the admin can be terrible. Like, I'd send an email and I wouldn't get a reply for ages. And then they'd like, I'd turn up for a meeting and they'd be like, oh, we haven't got you down. Which is great. But I think if anyone is considering it, just look into it, kind of weigh up your options. And then worst case scenario is the best thing here is that when you do go, they're not trying to like sell it to you.
Right.
They're not trying to like wrangle you for your sperm and be like, give it. Yeah. Come on. Nice.
That would be
and
creepy.
If you do donate, if you do donate, they give you like a free counseling session. So it's, I think, really worth looking into it if it's something that you're considering. And the benefit here is that even after you've started donating, at any point you can say, actually, I don't want to anymore. Can you just destroy my sperm? And they just destroy it for you.
Oh, that's wow. Great.
Wow.
There does seem like there's a lot of thoughtfulness in your system there.
Yeah, they're really looking out.
I mean, there's some flaws, but
they're looking out for you guys. And they're also making sure that nobody is irresponsible in this, mm-hmm. I feel like in America, it's just a bunch of irresponsible.
It's a bunch of college guys who need money for beer is what it feels like.
Definitely who all our babies are from.
I wonder if we're going to hear from people who are like, I donated and that's not what I was
so
doing.
Come on and talk to
tell
us.
Your side of the story.
But it is, it's really interesting. And I can't believe there's no pictures.
No.
Well, thank you so much for telling your story. I mean, this is, I hope that you inspire other people to help, you know, take care of that shortage in the UK.
Yeah.
Me too. I think it's a great thing. And I think, I don't know, I get lots of self-worth out of it. It makes me feel good. So.
And once you get your sperm donor number, we should put it on our social because you got fantastic hair and the cutest little face. And I think we should like, I want to like push your sperm. I feel like a Jewish mother. I'm like, he's got great sperm.
We can't, I think that's like illegal. I don't think we can push his sperm. Yeah, no, I don't think we can do anything of the sort.
All right.
He is very cute though. So you might get him if you're over there.
Yeah, anything to compromise the anonymity. I was even told, have you done the 23andMe, like DNA testing?
Oh, yeah.
I was told not to do that because somebody could flag up. Like, this is your dad, by the way.
Yeah, no, people are finding their like anonymous sperm donors that way.
Oh. Yeah. So I was told not to do it.
Yeah, there was an article. A listener sent to me an article about a woman who did 23andMe on her kid. And then went after the donor and she got like a cease and desist from the bank because I guess you sign a thing saying you won't do that on behalf of your kid. I mean, it's kind of crappy. Like, it's like she,
supposed to reach
out. Got an anonymous donor. That's not fair. Like, in my opinion, but what do I know? Maybe she can come on and get in a fight with me over it.
There's a lot of stuff to unpack here.
It really
a lot.
Is.
And I think it's a good thing that there are regulations. Mm-hmm. Set up in the UK. There are regulations here too. It sounds like you guys have a lot more and it makes it a lot harder for you yourself, Nate, to do something good like this. But if you're committed to it, it's an all around great thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's patient. You just need patience. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Kind of keep going.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Wow.
Oh, his little handsome face.
I know. He's so sweet. What a good guy. He's cute. He's sweet.
He's adorable.
What a good thing he's doing.
But this, you know, that interview with him made me go look up my bank.
Yeah.
And what I was surprised by is that they've changed options about open, closed since I used them. It's, 8 or 9 years. It's been, I guess, maybe 10 years at this point, I guess. So they now have closed donors but they have open donors, which where it says that contact remains anonymous and would be facilitated by the bank. And it may include, but is not limited to, email, written letter, telephone, or in-person meeting. The form and the extent of this communication will be determined by mutual agreement between the donor and the offspring. But then there's this little pesky thing at the end that says after the initial contact, and what we're not sure about is if this is from the bank or from the donor.
From the bank.
The donor is not obligated to additional communication, but the donor and the offspring can continue to communicate if they wish.
So what I took from that, and this is the same, this is what my kids have. I know this for sure because I read this. Mm-hmm. What I took that to mean is, yes, we can contact the sperm bank. No, my child can contact the sperm bank and say, I want to make contact contact mm-hmm. with the donor. Mm-hmm. They then go to the donor and say, look, you have an offspring that mm-hmm. wants to know who you are. And then he has the choice still from that moment to either say, yes, I will get in contact, or no, I don't want any contact. Yeah, I mean,
I need to call the bank. I need to call the bank and find out for me from when we did it, if that's what it was.
Right. Because that's definitely what my kids have.
What's frustrating about that is, if that's the case, it's like you paid more for an open donor, assuming that there had to be like they were allowed to have one contact. So it's like, that would be really disappointing.
Well, that's when we went into it, I really remember reading this and thinking, I mean, what's the point in paying extra if he can still say he doesn't want to?
I know. Well, I guess we'll see. But anyway, although I kind of feel like, by the way, by the time our kids are that age, it's like the 23andMe business is going to be so far along. It's like, I don't know how that donor is going to hide. But I was also interested to see that the bank has now something called ID disclosure donors. And it says they've agreed to allow the bank to release their identifying information to any offspring once they turn 18. So that's now a new level that didn't exist when
I'm wondering if you pay extra for that.
Yeah, it was more money.
But that's their last known. It'll give you their last known address, which is going to be 18 years ago, which most people don't live the same place 18 years later. So
last known address.
I know, I saw that. Yeah.
What a racket.
Yeah. But it gives you the option. And if you choose a closed donor, you just don't have the option at all.
Yeah. No, right. It's fascinating. So, I guess.
So it's a little bit different than they do it in the UK.
Well, if I was a donor and trying to, like, I didn't want them to find me, I would not do 23andMe. That's all I know.
It's also, I have to say, there's so much red tape, and the fact that you're even confused about what you have, they make it difficult.
Okay. Anywho, we have Tiff and Carissa.
Yes. We've already told you what this one is about. So let's play it.
Play the ditty first.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby.
So my submission for today is, so we're still within that 2-week waiting period since inseminating. So we don't have a result yet. And we both know and we both agree that this could all be chemical or psychological, but we're both feeling pretty strongly that things are moving along the right path. I know it's cliche and, you know, not like super out of the ordinary, but Tiffany has been having some intense cravings and some intense I don't like this anymore situations. She's also developed this fairly regular craving for catfish. Another thing that I can talk about at this point, like give an update on who I've been talking to about our process. It's strange. It's really only like a couple of really close people to me that know about it. And then, of course, most people who are strangers to me who are listening to this podcast that like know what we're going through. So it's a weird dynamic. But I've told a couple of my really close friends, I think in total three, that we actually attempted an insemination. I told my therapist because I feel like that's an important thing to talk about with your therapist. And the last person is my mentor teacher. I'm student teaching right now, so I spend a lot of time every day, 7 to 8 hours with my mentor teacher. So I guess in total, what's that, 6 people that I've talked to? So yeah, it's interesting to think about that, like who you talk to, who you don't talk to. So yeah.
Aww.
Sweet.
So naive.
Oh,
but listen, it is a little naive.
It's the first time, and there's no
judgment that everyone of us was.
And it might be their
naive.
Only time.
Maybe they got pregnant.
And those lucky ducks. I hope they're lucky ducks.
Like I said, I find it really fascinating that they are talking to us, but then they're really nervous about who they're like what friends they're telling.
I think they lock themselves into us and they're like, shit, we told them
would. Nobody could ignore us. Plenty of people have ignored us, Jamie.
That's true.
We've been ignored by a lot of people.
But we really, really appreciate you guys, Tiff and Chris. Tiff and Chris. I'm even shortening Chris now.
TNC.
TNC.
Like TNC Music Factory. TNC Baby Factory. Yes. Trademark. All right. Listen,
let's
get our social media out there to people. Ovariestalk@gmail.com. Yeah.
Ovaries_talk@Instagram. If These Ovaries Could Talk on the Book of the Face, the Facebook. And @ovariestalk on the Twitter.
And thank you to our sponsors, Grove and Miro. And do not forget to use the promo code with them.
Yes.
We love you guys. Thank you for
being listening
with us on this ride, Grove and Miro.
It's a roller coaster. Shut this out. This is no teacup.
What? Oh, God. Eggs.
Freeze.
This isn't teacups.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.